welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of September 23rd. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and solstice-y Melissa Hansen.
Sure.
Very fall solstice. The colors have just, within the past couple days here in New England, all the trees have started to change color. So.
Oh, it's fall here in Texas. It's getting down into the 60s at night. And this weekend it was only high in the 80s.
Wow, you are cooling off.
Fall is here.
Nice. What has your weekend entertainment been like?
Ooh, some premieres, TV premieres.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, we talked a little bit about Ironside, and I hadn't watched it.
Yep.
I wouldn't watch it. You can watch it on Hulu. It's not on for another like week or so. We had talked a little bit about it. Blair Underwood. It's kind of a remake, but the only remake part is the title.
Yeah. And the character.
I mean, yeah. Well, he plays a cop, and it's like this hotshot cop who ends up in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And we talked about, you brought up the controversy, why didn't they cast, you know, an actor who's in a wheelchair? Well, because I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Flashbacks. Lots and lots of flashbacks.
Gotcha.
And the actor who played the dad in The Killing. The first
I never saw
seasons.
That show. Yeah.
And don't bother. Anyhow, he plays like his partner, his former partner. Anyhow, it's a typical cop show. And my eyes hurt by the end. Not from crying, but from rolling.
Yeah.
It was over the top ridiculous. I wanted to like it. I didn't think it was going to be amazing, but I thought it'd be a good solid cop show. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I watched it too.
Blair Underwood, over the top. I mean, the writing is ridiculously over the top.
Yeah.
But Blair played it that way, too. There's no subtlety anywhere in this thing.
No. And if you notice, the camera movements, it changes perspective. So when they're, like, beating up on a suspect, they almost have, like, a helmet cam on the suspect who's getting beat up. So you get that kind of fisheye look, and it gets very distracting and very disorienting.
And, yeah. And it's just, if one thing were over the top, it'd be okay. But like that, like if they chose kind of funky camera work, fine. Or they chose, you know, just his character. But like every character is ridiculous. And
it's not anything we haven't seen before. I mean, I like Blair Underwood. The fact that they took, so when Raymond Burr quit Perry Mason, they developed this show for him. And he was he was a cop who had been injured and was still wanting to be on the force. And the character names are still the same. The team that he has, all the character names are still
is
the
it?
Same.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't watch it. Like, I've seen some Raymond Burr. I have not really seen the original Ironside. I don't know if I've seen any of it. I just know about it.
Yeah. And so you have that nostalgia piece, but it's all very Law and Order, NYPD.
It's not
Blue.
Law and Order. Here it is. It's not Law and Order. It's Law and Order SUV.
There you go. All right. There you go. Yeah.
Which are two very, very different shows.
Yeah.
And I found fans of like Law and Order do not like SUV.
Oh.
SUV is ridiculous. Yeah. My dad, who used to be a cop, that show would come on SUV and he would walk out of the room. He could not take it.
We said the same thing about CSI Miami. You know?
Yeah.
It's over.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That was fun. Cheesy. And that's the thing. So, but I had no fun with that. Like, CSI Miami was ridiculous, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Like, Ironside, it's not fun.
Yeah. A couple familiar faces, though. So, of his three-member team, if you've watched Orange is the New Black, one of the guys is Pornstash, who is one of the guards at Litchfield Prison.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy played Deborah Messing's writing partner on Smash, was a gay man who had a boyfriend, and this boyfriend is the guy who's on Ironside.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So, it's something you can check out. But I don't think it's going to last unless it's going to fit in with that type of show and people are just going to watch it out of habit.
So. But you can check it out on Hulu before it airs if you want to. Now, the other one I did, so I was excited for this.
Yeah.
Did not like it.
Yeah.
Not going to keep watching it.
Yeah.
But the Sleepy Hollow.
It's funny. We didn't plan to watch the same shows and yet we did. So
okay.
Go ahead.
I liked it. I was not looking forward to it. I figured, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll see what it is. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's not amazing. I have not found a show yet this season that's like, oh my gosh, I love this show.
Yeah.
It ranges from okay to good.
Yeah.
Nothing's you know, blowing my panties off. But this, I liked, surprisingly.
This show has the potential to be very interesting, very X-File-ish, because of the way they set it up. My concern...
Yeah, it's like, how are they going to keep going with
exactly.
it? This is my thing.
Yes.
Like, premiere, great. This would be a good two-hour movie, but yeah. what are they going to do for a whole season? That's what it depends on. But I liked it. I liked the actors. I liked the kind of setup with it. Yeah. And yeah.
Because when you have the Headless Horseman walking around with a shotgun at the end that shoots fire and brimstone, I'm like, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Because this guy can destroy pretty much anything at this point.
Right. But yeah, the show with the Headless Horseman is less ridiculous than the show with just like New York cops.
It's true. And it's got style and it's got panache.
Yeah. And funny.
And
humor.
It is funny. Yep. Because Ichabod Crane has been pulled a Rip Van Winkle and slept for how many, you know, hundreds of years. But the way they set it up with Clancy Brown being the sheriff of this small town and having, he's kind of, he has this case file that he was developing of all these paranormal events. And he's tracked it down to covens and all these things that have been in existence since, you know, the birth of North America kind of thing. And you have his partner, who was a sergeant or whatever, who was going to go work for the FBI. So you already have her interest in that type of environment.
On bigger cases, yeah.
But she also had a paranormal experience. So you have the Fox Mulder kind of character. Then you have the, you know... So it's from Alex Kurtzman and Robert Orci, who developed Hawaii Five-O, the reboot, who worked with Star Trek for, you know, J.J. Abrams. And so there is talent there. The setup is there. Like Melissa said, I'm not sure that they have the balls to be as creative as they need to be to keep this thing going from week to week.
Yeah. I'll have to see. But yeah, I was pleasantly like, hey, this is, I expected it to be bad.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Cameo from John Cho in this little, you know, side.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this could be this could be one of the shows that you're going to want to keep an eye on. I'm still waiting. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. debuts on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yes.
I think that's going to be my one must-see show of the fall, but this could be number two for me.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely want to keep an eye on it. And see how it goes. If they can't keep it up, then I'll definitely check out. But, yeah.
Now,
surprising.
In that same vein, we were both fans of Grimm the first season. I did not watch the second season. Where do you think that's playing right now?
They did great with the second season.
So they've been able to carry that through then.
And they've done a lot with Juliet.
Okay.
They added this whole dimension with her. And, they've totally... And I thought they'd run out of kind of... Character of the week, monster of the week.
Yeah.
And they haven't.
All right.
So we'll see where they go with it.
And Once Upon a Time, I think that fell apart for you, right?
Yeah, that totally did. Like, I don't care anymore. I cannot believe they're doing a spinoff of it.
Okay.
But
yes,
yeah.
I got two versions of that on
this fall. Sleepy Hollow is my new kind of fantasy.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Well, that limited our time we're spending talking about new stuff this week because we both watched the same things.
Yes.
How about the box office? We had at least one expected film that did pretty well.
Yeah, so Prisoners came in number one amidst the big Jake Gyllenhaal.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Yeah. I totally blanked on his name.
It's okay.
So, yeah, it's supposed to be a very dark kind of movie, but looks just quality acting. Anyhow, Prisoners, $21.5 million. So back down to where we kind of have been for the fall. Coming in. Insidious Chapter 2 is totally hanging in there with $14.5 million. The Family, $7 million. Instructions Not Included. Still up there.
A little movie that could.
Million. Yeah. And Battle of the Year, $5 million.
The one item on this week's box office report that really intrigued me was Wizard of Oz in 3D made $3 million.
Yeah, it did.
And, of course, we're talking 1930s, 1940s money, but its original domestic gross at the box office was only something like $13 million.
Yeah.
But project those numbers out with inflation and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's nothing nowadays.
This coming week, Ron Howard's Rush gets a wider release. It was in limited release before. This is going to be, I think, the one of the most talked about movies of the fall. Splint Ron Howard will definitely be in contention for multiple Oscars for this.
I mentioned that it's one I like obviously had no thought of like raising, whatever, I don't care, but seeing the trailers and stuff has got me interested. Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Don John opens. He wrote it. He directed it.
Fun. I really want to see this. It looks adorable.
Yeah. And he handpicked Tony Danza to play his father.
That kind of rocks.
Yeah.
Kind of, and I just love Scarlett's accent in it.
Right.
So.
For the kids and for the families, we've got another animated Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, part two. The first one was surprisingly enjoyable, and from the trailer for this one, it looks to be even more adorable because of what they're doing with this. So they go, it's kind of like a Jurassic Park thing. So this guy created a machine that uses the atmosphere to create food because he wanted to end hunger kind of stuff. So these giant hamburgers would fall from the sky. So they go to this island now where the machine has kind of, nature has created animals and things out of food.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got like the watermelon.
You think this sounds good?
Oh, we saw the trailer for this and it just, I laughed out loud.
Yeah, I did too. And I don't know. Maybe we have different opinions on it.
That's all right. The IMAX version of Metallica's concert, Through the Never, opens this week. And I know there's a lot of people who are excited about that. And then there's a kind of a small dramatic thriller called Mourning, which looks at 5 days in the life of a couple after the accidental death of their child. And it stars Jean Triplehorn, who we haven't seen her since Waterworld, I think.
No, she was on the Multiple Wives show.
Oh.
She played wife number one.
With Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
But then Laura Linney, Elliot Gould, Jason Ritter, Kyle Chandler, and then from director Leland Orser, who also stars, and he's probably best known for playing Dr. Dubenko on ER. He's one of those
guys. You're asking me with the foreign zone and names.
I know, but he's one of those guys that you look at, and it's another one of those, hey, you're that guy in that thing.
Yeah.
You immediately know who he is, and he's been on a lot of stuff. So I'm sure between Rush and Don John, that's going to be the dominating force in the box office next week.
Yeah.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, Iron Man 3. You saw it, right?
Yes. Yeah, excellent.
The 35th anniversary of John Carpenter's Halloween comes to Blu-ray this week with a brand new commentary from Carpenter and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Nice.
Yeah. And a couple new featurettes with interviews and things like that. Another Carpenter movie, Prince of Darkness, hits Blu-ray this week, and this is one of those lesser known of his films, but among cult horror circles, it's still highly respected. Warner Brothers is releasing what they're calling the Dark Knight Ultimate Collection Trilogy. So it's all three of the Christopher Nolan films. We're hoping that's going to be more bonus materials. I didn't look at the complete rundown, and Warner Brothers is always cagey about stuff like this. But Chris is not known for doing a lot of bonus features in development. He doesn't like to do a lot of behind-the-scenes features because he figures everything that he needs to say is on the screen in the film.
Yeah, which is, you know, he's got a point there.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not going to tell you what to think of it or what to get out of it.
Right.
Everybody's, you know, finds what's important to them.
Right. And Warner Brothers is known for repackaging their stuff to the nth degree in ridiculous fashion. But I'm curious to see what this thing has for us. And then you ready? Here's the rundown of this week's TV on DVD.
Okay.
South Park Season 16. Law and Order SVU Season 14. Which, let me digress for a moment. We talked about Ironside and Pornstache being an Ironside. He is the villain in this week's season premiere of Law & Order SVU.
Ooh, wow, he's everywhere.
Which, I mean, yeah, exactly. Okay, Family Guy, Volume 11, which they've stopped doing seasons because it kind of bleeds over. I don't know what they're doing with this, but it's kind of Season 11, but it's not completely. Doctor Who, Series 7, which is the complete release. Now, if you've gotten the Christmas episode, the first part and the second part, what you're not getting in those are all the Doctor Who Confidential episodes, which were like 20 minutes to 30 minutes after each. Yeah, so now those are all on the complete series release, and I hate when studios do this.
So if I'm a huge fan, I have to go buy like 4 frickin' releases.
Yes, pretty much.
I want it as soon as I can and everything. Yeah. Nice.
Well, you know, and Paramount took that to the nth degree with the Star Trek Into Darkness release, where you could, there was no possible way that one disc existed with all the bonus features. In fact, the commentary, if you wanted the commentary, you had to buy, I don't know, was it the Walmart version? And then you had to download the commentary from the internet. So it doesn't even exist on a disc.
But it's just rude.
It is. It's, I don't know. Foyle's War, Set 7 from Acorn Media. Modern Family, Season 4. Hawaii 5-0, Season 3. Hannibal, Season 1. And China Beach, Season 1.
Okay. That's been released as, like, the whole series.
I know. Time Life has this way of doing that.
Okay.
All right. That's for TV. That's for DVD and Blu-ray. Over at Redbox, we've got World War Z, Epic, the animated adventure from this past summer, The Bling Ring from Sofia Coppola, and Kevin Spacey's House of Cards, Season 1, on physical media, if you have not already watched it on Netflix, where it's been for, what, 6 months now?
Almost, yeah, something like that.
Over at Netflix, speaking of Netflix, Love Actually, which is just a great little Christmas romantic.
Yeah. Yeah. You forget it's actually a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
It's, it, which it is. But yeah, it's the, just the cast makes that kind of thing. So.
51st Dates with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. Along Came Polly with Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston. And then Don't Stop Believin', which is the documentary story of the, I think he's a Filipino singer that Journey found on the internet, on YouTube.
I want to watch this because the story does intrigue me.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Steve Perry left and Journey still wanted to go on. And this guy was doing like karaoke. He didn't speak English. He like learned it phonetically and he sounds exactly like Steve Perry.
Yep.
And Journey saw him. Yeah. Like YouTube, whatever, of this karaoke thing and found him and he's now a rock star.
That's right. And then over at Hulu, I just, some days, some weeks, Hulu has nothing. So there's a documentary called Married and Counting, which is about two gay men whose mission is to get married in every state that allows it legally.
Nice.
We've got the unauthorized Rolling Stone documentary, Rock of Ages. We've got Tomorrow Will Be Better, which talks about freestyle motocross biking. And then Versailles 73, which is what they consider to be a fashion industry turning point called American Runway Revolution.
Okay. And then, of course, Hulu has a whole bunch of British stuff.
Yes, they just signed a deal.
Starting now.
With a
starting
number of networks, including the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
My excitement was that they made a big deal about signing Doctor Who.
Not everything. It's, they have all of the new series.
And it's the same contract that they have with Netflix. So all of the vintage seasons, and there's just little pieces from Tom Baker and, you know, Peter Davidson and stuff. I was expecting them to have more available because you can only see that stuff if you buy those DVD sets.
Right. So it's same. You can get other places. But there's other shows, too. They're like Torchwood and Life on Mars, things like
Life
that.
On Mars, awesome.
So, which is cool. I'm looking forward to some of that.
Yeah. So you got all that stuff. But the other disappointing thing is we had assumed that as the new episodes like Series 8 come out, that they would be available on Hulu to watch. Oh. That is not the case.
And this is a bit of the CBS thing. They have like old CBS shows, but not necessarily new CBS shows. Yes.
Anyways, that's all I've got for physical and streaming media this week.
Okay. I'm going to go through this once, people, so pay attention. And if you miss out on what you're looking for, do not come blaming me.
No.
All right. Well, this week, first, we'll start off. A bunch of the shows on CW are ending this week. But all the other networks are starting. So, Monday, Castle on ABC. How I Met Your Mother, Two Broke Girls, Mom, Hostages, CBS. The Voice, The Blacklist, NBC. Tuesday, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., woo! The Goldbergs, so cute. Trophy Wife, Lucky 7, ABC. NCIS, NCIS LA, Person of Interest, they're all back on CBS. Tuesday, Chicago Fire is back on NBC. Wednesday, we got The Middle, Back in the Game, another cute one. Modern Family, and Nashville on ABC. Criminal Minds and CSI and CBS. Revolution and Law and Order SVU on NBC. Thursday, Grey's Anatomy is back on CBS. And then we have Big Bang, The Crazy Ones, Two and a Half Men, and Elementary on CBS. So Two and a Half Men switching to Thursday, and Amber Tamblyn's joining the cast.
As Charlie's daughter.
As Charlie's daughter, who's exactly like Charlie, all about the chicks and the booze. All right. Okay, also Thursday, Parks and Rec, Michael J. Fox Show, and Parenthood are on NBC. Glee is back on Fox. They're going to do two episodes of all the Beatles, and then the third episode is going to deal with Finn's death. So we get a couple fun weeks until we, you know, delve into tragedy. All right, Friday, Undercover Boss, Y5O, and Blue Bloods are back on CBS. Dateline is back on NBC. And MasterChef, except it's juniors this time, on Fox. Saturday, 48 Hours is returning to CBS. Sunday, we have Once Upon a Time, Revenge and Betrayal on ABC. Amazing Race, Good Wife, and Mentalist on CBS. Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, and American Dad are back on Fox. So that's what's coming back this week. And next week will be probably just as long.
Okay.
All right. Music this week. Kings of Leon have a new one called Mechanical Bull. And then, man, we're just like going old school here. We have The Last Ship from Sting, Closer to the Truth from Cher, and The Diving Board from Elton John.
Wow.
Yeah, so some of the classics with new stuff.
Yeah.
I mentioned the Glee. So Glee Sings the Beatles is out on CD.
Ugh.
So all the stuff from those couple of episodes, yeah. And then, Rush. We talked about that coming out. Hans Zimmer's soundtrack is also out this week. And then, I'm sorry, we're September still, correct?
Yes.
And Christmas is how far away?
Oh, no.
Let It Snow, a holiday collection from Jewel, is out this week.
They couldn't so wait another month?
So she's going to jump on the competition there.
Damn.
Yeah. All right. Okay, books this week. The big one. Stephen King, Dr. Sleep.
Oh.
Which is actually a sequel to The Shining.
No.
Many decades later.
Wow.
Yeah, Danny's all grown up. So that is finally out this week. And then Sandra Brown, who is quite prolific with her little thrillers. Her new one is called Deadline. And then Everything I Need to Know I Learned from a Little Golden Book.
No.
By Dan Muldrow. I thought that was adorable.
Yeah.
So it's like Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, Robert Fulghum. It's that kind of thing. But it's like all those little golden books, how they taught us all of life's lessons.
Do they even make those anymore?
Yeah, I don't know how many new ones, but they still publish all the classics we grew up with.
All right.
I've got a few on my shelf.
Yeah.
So, okay. Either love them or hate them, Bill O'Reilly.
Ugh.
Has a new one called Killing Jesus, A History. So it's actually about Jesus.
Hmm.
And then if I'm mentioning Bill O'Reilly, I'm also going to mention that Richard Dawkins has a new one this week called An Appetite for Wonder, The Making of a Scientist.
Hmm.
And then everybody's favorite old lady, Suzanne Somers, has I'm Too Young for This, The Natural Hormone Solution to Enjoy Perimenopause. All right, then.
While she does her thigh master and her skin treatments and everything else.
All right. And then the other big nonfiction this week, Jim Henson, The Biography by Brian J. Jones.
Hmm.
Should be hopefully as lovely as Jim was.
Well, that'll be on my Christmas list.
Yeah. And then the TV show The Chew. They actually have a recipe book out called The Chew, What's for Dinner? 100 Easy Recipes for Every Night of the Week.
So there's actually a TV show called The Chew?
Yeah, it's like a talk show, but it's a food-based. And they have like, what's his name? The fat chef.
Well, that
Mario Batali.
Oh, okay.
Donuts. And yeah, it's like a lifestyle talk show, but it's more based around food.
Okay, that just sounds
like, there's like five hosts.
Good name for a show.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anyhow, theater news this week.
Yes.
We have a play that may be coming to Broadway. It was originally planned and then it didn't. And then it went off Broadway. It's called The Velocity of Autumn.
Okay.
And it stars Estelle Parsons.
No.
Yeah. And it's in Washington, D.C. It's at Arena Stage. It's just open there. It's through October 20th. And they are now calling it the pre-Broadway engagement.
She's got to be 80 years old now.
Yeah. So it stars her, and it stars along with Tony winner Steven Spinella.
Okay.
She plays an elderly woman, because she is an elderly woman, so that works. But she locks herself in, like, her house to have solitude, and then her estranged son, like, breaks in through the window. And so it's this relationship kind of two-person show there.
Cool. Now, those of you who don't know, I mean, Estelle Parsons is a legendary actress of the stage, but most people will probably remember her as playing Roseanne's mom on Roseanne.
Right. Yeah, all the things she's done, again, for like 70 years,
right.
But yeah, that's what she's known by. So anyhow, yes, I thought that was just great that Estelle is back on stage. So anyhow, we will keep our eyes out for that. If you're in D.C., you can catch that, but hopefully it will be coming to Broadway soon.
Yeah. Cool. Now, news, did you watch the Emmys last night?
I watched some of the Emmys last night. I was watching soccer, actually.
Yeah, and your thoughts?
Didn't get home, missed the beginning. It was cute. I was so torn because they did all this extra shit.
Like what?
Which you have Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
So let's make him sing and dance, and let's do funny things with like his cast members from How I Met Your Mother. And they did all this big choreography thing, which was cool. And they just kind of picked shows and did like a little choreography kind of based on the show, but it had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have every single winner being cut off.
No.
Talking. Pretty much. The music played. I swear to God, it played for everyone.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, some of this is cool, but you could have cut out. Like, Neil Patrick Harris did a song and dance. Like, this is the musical number in the middle of the show.
Okay.
Like, funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you could have cut that and let people finish talking. I don't know. It was the Emmys. I mean, no more, no less.
Did you see the in memoriam part? Because this was a big controversy
this past week. Well, here's the controversy. They did the typical in memoriam, and they had a lovely cello player, and they showed, you know, pictures of all the big famous people, and some not so famous. I mean, they do some, like, agents and producers.
Right.
And people you and I may not recognize, but people in the industry recognize.
Yeah.
They did it. Great. But they also chose to do, I think it was, like, five people. They chose to, throughout the show,
okay,
have someone come out and talk about them for a minute.
People such and as?
They had Edie Falco talk about James Gandolfini.
Fair enough. All right.
For example. So they had like a handful of people, you know, doing this. And one of them was, they had Jane Lynch talk about Corey Monteith. Well, Jack Klugman was in the in memoriam, you know, like he was in the thing.
Right.
But he wasn't singled out. And his son has pitched a fit, which I understand it's a grieving son.
Yeah.
Thinking his father's not getting recognized. But he has come out and said, why are you letting a druggie with no Emmys get special treatment?
Yeah.
And not my father who won 3 Emmys.
Right.
I think part of the point was, too, they picked, like, people across the board. And Corey was kind of the representation of New Hollywood and kind of the loss of someone who might have been, who might have won 3 Emmys in their lifetime if given, well, the chance.
So it's a cautionary tale is what you're saying.
So, and I think that was some of it. And it was like, I don't know. So anyhow, they pick 5 people. Well, of course you're going to piss people off because you're never going to pick the right 5
right.
people.
This forever. Is always the case.
Yeah. So someone's going to be ticked because everybody doesn't get special treatment. It's not like they totally forgot about Jack Klugman.
Okay.
It's that they didn't single him out special like they did some other people.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not going to run down the whole list of winners here because it's just pointless. Tina Fey won for 30 Rock for writing with her partner Tracy Wigfield, which good for them. They wrapped up the show. It was, you know, it was a great example of what comedy can be on television these days.
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Tony Hale both won for Veep, which is a show I have not seen. Modern Family picked up a bunch of awards. Jim Parsons won again for Big Bang Theory. Laura Linney for The Big C, which I didn't even know that show was still on the air. The Voice won for Outstanding you know, reality TV competition or whatever. These categories have gotten very specific these days.
Here's the other thing. The one category is like variety show.
Yeah.
Which like Colbert Report won.
Yes.
Well, I'm like, that's not a variety. Why do we even have that category, number one? Because like Saturday Night Live is just about the only thing I'd consider variety show.
Right.
Like, to me, variety shows like Sonny and Cher show, you know, like singing and dancing and sketches. Right. And like, we don't actually have variety shows.
Not anymore.
I don't know. They need to change it.
They even have something called Outstanding Choreography.
They did, because there is now So You Think You Can Dance and Dancing with the Stars and all of that.
Yeah,
Derek Hough won that for Dancing with the Stars.
But Steven Soderbergh and Michael Douglas both won for the Liberace biopic Behind the Candelabra. So,
It was very cool. And Michael gave a completely inappropriate sexual speech about Matt Damon. It was great.
Well, now that he and Catherine have split, he's got to show that he's back on the market again, right?
And that's the other part about his sexual speech. It was funny. It was not like overtly inappropriate. He was like, I have to share this with you, to Matt Damon. He's like, this is half yours. Which do you want, top or bottom? So it wasn't like overtly. It was like, you and I get it. But it wasn't completely inappropriate. But at the end, he thanked his wife, Catherine.
No, really?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Well, that's
they're still married.
All right.
I'm still married. He had his ring on. I think she's still wearing her ring. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, it was classy. He thanked his wife, Catherine, and I think he just mentioned his two younger kids. He has older kids.
Yes.
He didn't mention. I think he mentioned his wife, Catherine, and his younger kids.
Yeah, his first wife, I think, was Diana. I think they had two. But those kids were troubled. I mean, one of those kids.
Yeah, but he didn't mention them.
All right.
Which I thought was not nice, but nice to mention Catherine. So, whatever.
That's Hollywood, right? You get remarried in the old family. Yep. That's happened when Bing Crosby gets remarried.
Move on, people.
Yep.
Next show.
Wow. All right, quickly, the rest of this news. Disney is ending its first look deal with mega producer Jerry Bruckheimer. Not a big surprise, since both Pirates of the Caribbean 4 and Lone Ranger kind of tanked. Now, all this means is that Disney does not have right of first refusal for anything that Jerry develops as a film project. So he can go and pitch it to other studios. When you have a first look deal, it means, hey, I'm in-house at this studio. Whatever I develop for them, odds are they're going to buy it. So now he's going to have to just go back to pitching projects. And he's got to make stuff. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, this is not end of anything.
No. Hollywood is going through a schedule reshuffling for the next couple summers. Pirates of the Caribbean 5 has been pushed back to 2016 because they need to make sure they get it right. Otherwise, that franchise is dead. Marvel's Ant-Man is moving into that July 2015 spot, just behind The Avengers Age of Ultron, which opens in May. So you've got two big Marvel movies that summer. Also that summer, Jurassic Park 4, which was supposed to be this coming summer, has now been pushed back to June 12th, 2015. And that's from Safety Not Guaranteed writer-director Colin Trevorrow.
Ah.
So you have an indie filmmaker making a big budget tentpole action picture. Could be interesting. He developed the script with his co-writer. So.
Okay.
And Universal is pushing back its 2014 Despicable Me sequel, Minions, to that same summer on July 10th. So it's going to be a very crowded summer box office in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Couple TV-related things. Mama June fans can rejoice because TLC has ordered 12 new episodes of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. Oh, shoot me now. And then the long outdated TV rating system, which has been forever based on the viewing habits of the select Nielsen families.
Yes.
They added DVR numbers for this fall, and they're going to add mobile device viewing information for the fall of 2014.
Good. Finally.
Yeah. So we'll actually have a better picture of how people are watching television because
Now, not just like 70-year-olds that don't have iPhones.
Right. Right. Yeah. People watch it on their phones, on their laptops, their tablets.
Good.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got for news.
Okay. Well, we wish our buddy Bruce good health and good luck. If you remember a while ago, he had skin cancer.
Oh.
And he had surgery on his face to remove it. And he had a pretty decent scar. Well, he, again, He's wearing a huge Band-Aid covering his nose. And the reports are he had like 30 stitches to remove skin cancer.
Oh.
So we'll see. This may look worse than his facelift. But.
Well, and see, that's just it. You go back and look at pictures of Bruce Jenner from his Olympic days and compared to now, and he looks like a drag queen.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, hopefully he is healthy and we'll stay healthy. And I can't wait to see the scar.
Okay. All right. Do we have a contest this week?
We do, and it's kind of cool.
Yes.
5 winners this week of Bates Motel Season 1, which is out now. So you can try to win it, but you can also purchase it at your local retailer or through links on our site with Amazon.
Yes, because Patrick Bromley reviewed it for us, and he said it would have been an even better show if it had nothing to do with the Psycho franchise.
Yeah, because it really doesn't.
Yeah.
In general. So. Anyhow, that was one of the big ones this past year. So if you didn't check it out, you can check it out on DVD now.
Very nice. All right, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We wish you a happy fall solstice for all the pagans in the audience. And we will be back next week.
We're so inclusive here at Blizzard.
I just remember when our friend Terry Shields was getting married on the beach, and his parents were down there, and they turned the corner to come down to the beach to see the wedding all set up. And he's like, "Oh," Mr. Shields said, "Oh my God, they're pagans!" Nice Irish family, you know, Irish Catholic family.
Right, and it was just like they were, you know, kind of funky people.
Anyways,
you know, a little left to center there.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week with more. Thank you guys for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com especially. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I can't say goodbye to the hood. Goodbye to the blacks. Goodbye to the streets.